Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. The very first verse of Isaiah 53, which we've just read, is often the demeanor of convinced Christians on days like Good Friday. Isaiah opens by asking the question, who has believed? There are so few, it seems, today, especially in days like we live, where some, indeed most churches, are growing smaller and smaller. In some way, you begin to understand, reading through Isaiah 53, why so few come to the Lord Jesus. When you see the way that he is presented, you're told from the outset that he hath no form nor comeliness. That is to say, there is nothing external about this man, Jesus Christ, that would draw you to come to him. But what causes men to look on Good Friday with little to no care? It's a very simple thing. It is the love of sin. All other wickedness, all rejection of the crucified Son of God, they all flow from a heart that loves sin. And if there's a man on a tree suffering for my sin, I don't care, because I love my sin. Why would it matter if this man of sorrows, who is supposedly life in himself, whose hands spanned the width of a criminal's cross, why would it matter if this man's back was filleted open, whose soul was stricken with grief? Why would any of that matter? Even if I believed it, why would it matter? Well, it matters, oh doubting one, because all that came upon him because of you. His hands and his feet were nailed. His head was crowned with thorns. His soul bare the grief of hell. He who is God has taken our flesh to be his apparel, to make it ragged and torn. You cannot do any more than scratch the surface of his suffering. I'd imagine you also cannot even begin to imagine the relief that his soul felt when the text told us that he gave up the ghost. The suffering was over when he took his last breath. The wrath of God came upon him and brought him to his death. And this was glory, as we heard last night. We have just prayed for ourselves and even the enemies of the gospel and Christ's sacrifice. It was displayed for the whole world to see. Throughout the history of preachers and those who have studied the text of Scripture, when Pilate does what he does by listing those multiple languages above the head of the Lord Jesus, it was a play, as it were, by God to show that the cross of Christ was for all those who spoke those languages, which were representative of all men. For the whole world to see, it was done. That all may know, if they would be reconciled to God, it would have to be through this one who has no comeliness about him, who has nothing about him that would draw you to him outwardly. And I hope you notice the explicit descriptions of Christ's sufferings, not just in his body, but also in his soul. He did not just suffer physical pain, but pain in his soul as well. I would argue is the place where pain hurts the most. This may not strike you as overly serious. How is invisible, or what we might call spiritual with a lowercase s, suffering in the soul even worth mentioning? Does being despised and rejected by men harm your body? Well, no, not really. Since it doesn't, where do you feel it? We say in the heart, but that's symbolic, isn't it? The place you feel it is the soul. When Christ was presented on the cross, which was an altar before heaven, he suffered physically, yes. He had nails driven through his hands. He had nails driven through his feet. He had a crown of thorns forced into the flesh of his head. But he also suffered in his soul. No one held his hand, though his mother and those around him that loved him certainly would have if they could reach him. All those who would have suffered with him have left him, just as he said, left him to pain in his body at the hands of these Roman soldiers, left him to pain in his soul at the hands of his father. And in today's world, think about being alone. It sounds very silly, and in a lot of ways it is. In today's world, you feel alone if no one texts you for a few minutes, or maybe for a few hours. You feel alone if your family is away from you. You feel alone when you're rejected by your spouse in one way or another, or your children. And these things, however legitimate, do not hurt your body. They hurt your soul. This rejection that Christ felt, if we were to read Psalm 22, is a reflection of the forsakenness that he felt from his father because of the pain that he was enduring. It was a pain that he felt in his soul. The fullness of God's wrath that is prepared for the souls of sinners is poured upon Christ on the cross. This is an element we don't often think of with the sufferings of hell that will last forever. It's not just physical pain, it's pain in the soul. Christ bore this too on the cross. The rejection that he felt was earned by you. He actively took that on. And the pain that he felt in his soul was the pain of guilt. That which you feel due to your own sin. He passively submitted to this as well. Just as you cannot begin to imagine the physical pain that Christ underwent, you cannot begin to imagine the pain in his soul. He suffered the physical guilt, for that which he bore in his flesh is what we all deserve. And he also bore the penalty of the guilt upon his soul. You know that horror that comes upon you when you sin, especially when you willfully sin. You could imagine that that was pumped into Christ, as it were, to the full. All that will be bore in hell, all that will be suffered in hell, in body and soul, by those who reject Christ that was poured out on him and suffered on Good Friday. This death, to use the language of the Psalms, drove Christ to the deepest pit that any man could possibly descend. And it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased his Father and ours to do this. Because by his work, dear friends, you are redeemed. He has paid the debt. God's account with you has been satisfied. This servant of God, Jesus Christ, we're told, will justify many. And because of the brightness and glory of his person, we know the grave could not hold him. Easter is coming. Sunday is coming. And though his body laid part of Friday, all of Saturday, and part of Sunday, we know that his eyes shall see with his very own eyes. He will look on his seed, these disciples that he loved, and he looks on us as well. I charge you today not to pass by this crucified Savior again without pausing in wonder, looking on his loving suffering that finished all work that must be done for you. Looking on him will not allow you to remain the same. As Romans 6 says, you've been baptized into his death. That is what your baptism is. But there's more. In your baptism, you have been raised with him in his resurrection. On Good Friday, we die with Christ. But on Easter Sunday, we rise with him. He takes you into the grave with him. And when he wakes up and opens his eyes and walks out on Easter morning, you are with him for that as well. Dear saints of God, he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and it was all for you. He bore the sin of many, and you are numbered among that great multitude. And as we sing in a moment, that moving hymn, Were You There? If you know him and you love him, the answer is easy. Yes, you were. And because you were there, you are here. And you will be with him forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we rejoice in this work.